Hello, welcome into Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. I'm Clara Apollo, your host and guide through the mother realm here for the next little while. So please do make yourself comfortable and settle into your being, and let's begin. First of all, before I introduce you to my esteemed guest here, I just want to explain that Mother Speaks is evolving. Through the last 3 months of conversations with a wonderful variety of women and men, all speaking into their relationship with mother, it has become clear that this show is truly outing the mother energy and all its forms, so that we can meet and speak about things that matter on topics across the birthing board, from babies and books, artworks, music and new projects, to parenting children, animals and oneself, plus all the conundrums of being a woman in this day and age. This show was initially inspired by our Wake Up Mother community, where a brace of us were called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, which you can find out more about on our website, wakeupmother.com. And all the episodes are up on replay on demand here on UK Health Radio, or on our podcast channel on Spotify or whatever podcast platform suits you. Back to this episode, and I am so honoured, thrilled, and feeling pretty excited to present to you a grand dame in the angel realm. Yes, Diana Cooper is here. Oh, welcome to the show, Diana.
Hello.
If you haven't heard of Diana Cooper, which I find hard to imagine, but she is an author, an international speaker and teacher, and she's been working with the angelic realm since her guardian angel appeared to her. Her mission is to connect people to angels, dragons, unicorns, and Atlantis for personal and planetary ascension. So in the middle of right now. And she's written over 30 books that are translated into 28 languages. And indeed, I think has a new book coming out soon, which we're going to speak to her about. But she's also produced many oracle decks, card decks, which are so useful for us for so many reasons. Now, she's helped many of us, well, she's helped me actually unravel old patterns of being, you know, with this deep consideration and compassion that the angelic realm offers us, and then enables through that space to step more and more into the light and the truth of who we really are at this time. So, Diana, where do we begin with the mother energy and the angel energy? Do you think that angels are an aspect of the mother energy, or some of them at least?
I think some of them are, obviously. Angels like the great universal angel Mary, who overlit Mother Mary. Now, she works across many universes, bringing in the divine feminine, bringing in all the caring and the nurturing and the compassionate energies to help us all move into that eventual balance, which is what we need. I think it's very difficult to talk about the mother energy without the balancing masculine energy, because the two are incomplete unless you talk about them together. And so always it's been in ancient cultures that the female energy, you had to have that embodied before you could take in the masculine energy, because the female energy was in you. It is part of our foundation. Yes. Because the female has babies and nurtures the babies. It's the creator, creates the home. And metaphysically, that is the female energy. It conceives new ideas and carries them until they're ready to come into fruition. It's the masculine energy that does the protecting, but they have to have both in order for the female energy and the future generations, the ideas of the future, to come in. So it's the wisdom, the creativity, and the nurturing energy that are so important. And at the same time, you have to have the strength, the protector. He goes out and he finds food for the family. He is a nurturer on a different level. So metaphysically, the masculine expands horizons, takes the ideas and carries them through, seeks the knowledge and is logical. And the feminine takes them in and nurtures them.
Mm.
So one without the other is very difficult. I often talk about your own parenting. Obviously, we chose our parents at a soul level. So hard for people to get it, that it isn't the personality that chooses the parents. It's the soul that chooses them. Sometimes as an offering to the parent, but usually for our own learning, our own understandings. And people say, but why on earth did I choose my father?
I know.
He wore in the head. He never had any emotions. He never cared. And the answer is you chose that so that you could develop your own caring, nurturing inner energies of emotionally looking after yourself, because he was showing you an example of how you didn't want to be.
Oh, that is so true. I remember when I had my boy, and I was determined to not bring him up like I'd been brought up. But I still really value what my parents did give me, don't get me wrong, but it's like it's bringing it up to date. You know, when you tune into your mother energy, how do I want to nurture this little being in the truth of my heart to the best of my ability? And who knows, you know, maybe it wasn't completely right for him, although I have asked him and he's been pretty cool about it recently, but we did go through some tricky times. But you're so right about this, this learning bit. You know, we choose the parents that our soul chooses for us to evolve, and we just have to get on with it, don't we?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's much more. We have to look at what it's about and take a higher perspective on it. There's no point in just saying, I've got to get on with it, because we may not have the tools, but everybody can start understanding. And I think the very beginning really is understanding and accepting that your parents are the product of their upbringing, their past lives. They are a complex being that came in and did their absolute best. It may not have been right, it may not have been good enough, but at that time, they had to do their best. I mean, they may have been absent. Mother might have died. Father might have gone. They might have divorced. But that's a lesson too, because that's a lesson in being there for yourself. If a parent isn't there for you, you have to learn that. And so nobody says it's easy, but every single type of parent we choose, it's about being there and understanding. You know, if you had a father that was bullying and aggressive, your lesson is to be powerful with compassion and enable other people to be themselves, because bullying comes from extreme fear, and it has, I happen to have the power over something less able to defend themselves. And so if that was your parenting, then you have to look at yourself, understand the fear of that father or mother's inner child, and start sending them love. And at that point, you can balance yourself.
Yes, this is such an emotive topic for me because of something that I did some healing with my mother and the mother line, because I didn't want it to carry on like it was. And like you said, that higher perspective, what's really here? When I tune into my heart, you know, we are all from love, you know, there's love in her, and absolutely I reached that and I was so overjoyed. I mean, it's quite a long process, but that piece about how she felt about her mother, how she was parented, and then all the history then. And then when you have those drop in moments of just holding the compassion and the love, something happens, doesn't it? There's just a realignment and an awareness of like, oh, they were just doing their best.
I think that many people forget that bit, because none of us is a perfect parent. You know, it just isn't possible when we're in a human body on earth, especially now, because now is end times. You know, for thousands of years, people have been able to say, no, I won't take on any more family karma. But right now, you can't say no. We have to take it on. At one time, say your great-grandfather did something, and your grandfather then, his job was to take on that karma. He said, no, I don't want to. Then it came down the generations, and cousins could take it on. And now we're no longer able to say no. So people being born now or having been born in the last few years have a huge backlog of karma that they have to take on. So we are being, well, guided and helped to create our own wise parenting so that we can forgive and release the past, let it go.
Yes.
Ready to jump forward into the golden age. And I think if I had to say there was one thing to do more than anything else to help with our integration and ascension, it's create your own inner wise parents.
Yes.
Because if you've got somebody, if you had a critical mother, then instead of carrying on with that same critical voice in your head, which is what we all do, once we've integrated it, we take their voice on, which is why we create the same things as our parents did, even though we think it was something totally different that we'd done and that we intended to do. We take on that same voice. But if you then change that consciously and you watch when you have a critical self-thought and you change that into what would my wise mother say, then that would be something life-affirming, something positive, something good. And we start saying that to ourselves. And that starts shifting us internally and making a massive difference.
Oh, you're so right. This, I've been talking about self-mothering, but you're right, it's self-parenting, because of course we need both. But I, as you also said earlier, it's the mother energy we need to connect with first, because that is the nurturer. And it's like, that to me feels like, well, it's really helped me to change or to shift my awareness from self-care to self-mothering. What would I do as my own best mother here? How could I hold myself? I think there's that holding piece that is really key that can kind of get overlooked when you're trying to do self-care. It's like, how about be? Just be with this mother energy that you have, all of us have.
I'd say the mother energy is more important to start with. I would say it depended on the individual.
Okay.
Some people need to work first with the father energy and then the mother energy. And others need more of the feminine, compassionate, caring, nurturing energy. Some people need the strength and protection before they can even start on that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, they need to feel safe.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, yeah. Wow, Diana Cooper is here with us on Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio, and we need to go to a break and a track. And I've been choosing some angel themed tunes for you here, Diana. And the first one that I'd like to share with you all is The Beauty by Nina Simone, called Angel of the Morning. Enjoy.
There'll be no strings to bind your hands, not if my love can't bind your heart. And there's no need to take a stand, for it was I who chose to start. There's no need, take me home. I'm old enough to face the dawn. Just call me Angel of the Morning. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me Angel of the Morning. Slowly turn away from me.
Just call me Angel.
Well, maybe the sun's light will be dim, but it don't matter anyhow. If morning echo says we've sinned, then it was what I wanted now. And if we're victims of the night, I promise you I won't be blinded by the light. Just call me angels. Touch my cheek before you leave me, baby.
Just... UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
So you're back with me here on Mother Speaks. I'm Clara Apollo. We're on UK Health Radio and I'm here with Diana Cooper, sharing such wisdom about parenting, not just focusing on mothering here. We've got the balance between the masculine and the feminine. And that track that we played, The Angel of the Morning, I really chose that for you because I know that you parent your dogs and you go out walking with your dogs in the morning, and I just, yeah, that
I don't just have dogs, you know.
Sorry,
I've got lots of grandchildren to parent.
How many grandchildren do you have now?
I've got five grandchildren.
Five, goodness me.
It's four girls, boy.
Oh, it's delightful. I wanted to just sort of connect in with the morning energy, the energy of light that comes with the first sunrise and the dawning of the golden age. Sorry, that just slipped in because you are so on it with this. So important to do the clear the karma, find that inner parenting, because what's happening next is really important for us to be on board with, right?
Absolutely. As you know, we're at the end of a 260,000 year cosmic era, which is almost unbelievable that we've chosen to come in right now at this incredible time of change on the planet. And so we're now moving into a golden future. The entire planet is becoming fifth dimensional, and that means that we're creating perfect families for the future. So after 2032, when the new energies come in, we will really be stepping forward into the golden future, which is the title of my new book, mm-hmm. The Golden Future, because it's so, so important. And for the first time since Atlantis, we are now able to experience true love. It's the first time that energy has been available to us on Earth. So we can start creating it in ourselves, in our families, and people will start sending out the energy to draw in their soul families. This is what's starting to happen now. And in the future, we won't have families where it's made up of all sorts of people that we've had karma with in the past or that we haven't known. We will be choosing people that are on a soul vibration with us. This makes such a difference when we're living with people and in communities where people are happy, contented, and feel at one with others. This is the energy of the divine feminine that enables this to come forward, because it's heart energy. Mm-hmm. And we're moving forward into heart-based communities. We're not going to have the loneliness and the separation that we've had in the past. We're moving into true heart-centered spaces where people consider others as well as themselves. And what I'm always pointing out to people is that if you do something for your highest good, the universe rearranges itself so that it's for the highest good of everybody else too. So you don't have to worry about what's going on. If it's with integrity for the highest good, then it works for everybody. And I think that that's a really important thing. People spend a lot of time thinking, oh, am I being selfish? My heart really sings at the thought of going and living by the seaside or something, or taking that job. But what about the universe will arrange itself?
Yes.
So that if your heart sings, then that's right for everybody.
Oh.
That brings me to another point which suddenly came into my head, which is, I've always believed that the greatest gift that you can give to your children is be happy.
Nice.
Because if you are happy, then your children do not have to worry, am I good enough to make her happy? Can I make her happy? Oh dear, mum isn't happy. Is it my fault? If you are happy, doing what makes your soul satisfied and contented, then that is a massively good gift to your children. Mm-hmm. They believe in the future they can make their partners happy because they were good enough for their mother.
Yes.
And if your mother is not happy, then you feel you're not good enough to make her happy. And so personal happiness and contentment is really important for mothers, to do what is right for you to do.
To mother yourself well, because that frequency of heart and self-care is going to emanate out into your families, into your friends. And we all hear about, you've got to look after yourself first. They're like, well, I've got so much to do. It's like, we're finding ways. And that's what this show is about. It's like sharing little tools and tips. Like, if you're in the middle of doing so much, you know, when can you find some time to come in and self-care? You know, in the middle of a school run, can you listen to a podcast? You probably already do. Have you got any sort of tips, awareness sort of hacks that you could give for mothers that are really busy and don't often have enough time for themselves?
Well, I see mothers racing around, making sure that their children go to ballet on Monday and gym on Tuesday and swimming on Wednesday. You know the picture. And actually, is that necessary? Would those children be much happier going out into the countryside and going for a walk in their welly boots and raincoats in nature, looking at the flowers, listening to the birds? This is what happened before you had everybody on phones for hours.
Yeah.
And I'll probably say the most unpopular thing it's possible to say, and that is, have a rule, no phones at the table. Something quite simple. That once there's a definite rule, children accept it. When parents are wishy-washy about it, then of course children don't accept it at all. They know full well what's when you're being half-hearted and when you really intend to follow through with something.
Yeah, so this is getting back to the personal responsibility of self-parenting, that if you want to encourage your children not to be on devices, you've got to manage that yourself.
You have. And it's so interesting. I was in a cafe the other day and I was considering how I use my phone as a default. And I was just thinking, no, my daughter went to the toilet and I just thought, no, I am not going to listen to something on the phone. I'm not going to check my emails. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy it. And then I noticed all the other people in the cafe, as soon as their partner got up to pay or go to the loo or whatever, they got their phone out. And it's an immediate, it's a kind of almost like an anxiety stopper.
Mm.
You get your phone out. And it's recentering and recalming self, so that then your children feel calm and safe. Now, if you've constantly got to find some means of distracting yourself, then how can these poor children coming into this complex world expect to do the same?
Very, very good. Very, it's not easy for us to manage this phone distraction thing. I mean, if you've seen Social Dilemma, I think it really helps. But we're needing to bring conscious awareness into our choices. And, you know, I find it as well. I'll just, it's like a compulsion. I have to actually put it over the other side of the room and put a timer on it. That's a little hack I've used. It's a very simple one, but it's like put it out of reach. And then when you find you're reaching for it, it's like, oh no, I'm not going to do that for another 45 minutes or something. And you have to retrain ourselves, don't we?
It's come in very quickly and suddenly.
Yes, yes.
On email and phone and text.
And it's been amazing to have these ways of communicating with one another, but it needs to be measured. I mean, I love that you've brought in going into nature. It's one of the themes that comes round and round in this show. It's like, this is the simplest thing. And of course, nature is Mother Earth. You know, she's calling us back into commune with her for really good reasons, you know. There's the balancing act of nature for you to like breathe in and absorb and be in awe and wonder of that leaf unfurling or the light coming through. Oh, the beech leaves at the moment. Oh, my goodness. You know, and to have that wonder and awe at nature, because it is incredible and so easy to overlook.
And so fascinating. Children nowadays, they don't know the bird song. They don't know the names of the flowers. It's very interesting to me. I mean, as a child, you'd pick a flower, probably not allowed to now, a wild flower, and you press it, and that is with you for ages. And you then make a card with it or something. Yes. That's all nature's provision.
Yeah, I remember going in with my wax crayons and paper and sort of doing the barks, the different sorts of bark and what those patterns brought up, and just feeling like, it was quite good fun, you know. And so that taking your kids out into nature, getting them used to it, even when it's raining, especially when it's raining, because you can put your wellies on and you can get into the elements, you know, how it smells different when it starts to rain, and noticing that and bringing that up into conversation with them, you know. And as you say, bringing flowers back or stones or something that has attracted them in from the magic of nature, and to commune with it. I mean, maybe even making a family altar or collection of what do we find this week, what is on there.
My granddaughter, when she was about 15 months, squatting on the pavement, watching a snail walking across the pavement. She was totally mesmerized for about 15 minutes. But mothers these days don't have 15 minutes to stand with their child while they're crossing a pavement, while they're watching a snail or whatever it is. It's patience. It's taking us back to that early element of watching and nurturing. Also, in the time of Atlantis, every family had a pet and every child had a pet, and it was considered part of their development that they had to take responsibility for the welfare of another being.
Yeah.
It was part of their growth, and that was what gave them compassion and understanding and caring. And even just looking after a plant, that gives a child an understanding. If I don't water that plant, it droops. It needs that. It needs me to give it that. And that's also a learning that children need nowadays.
Yeah, and I think that you've also brought up the role of the grandparent that has got more time and more patience, and that children need to be around adults of different ages. And, yeah. You know, I just think it's so important to bring the grandparents in and involve them in the lives of the children. It's so, you have so much to give and to share and to, patience, like you say, and awareness and observation and wisdom. Mm.
I think this is part of the golden future. Families will be rejoining each other again. In the past, it's been everyone scattering to do their own thing. But because of the soul energies involved, people are going to start moving together into communities where they are much more caring and sharing than this current generation. And so it's part of the energies, the navel chakra starting to come more and more open for more people. They're bringing in their 12 chakras. The navel chakra is there and it's coming out so that people are more community minded. They're understanding oneness, understanding that we are all one, that you cannot hurt somebody else because you're hurting yourself. All of this is part of the understanding that's bringing people together for a golden future. As we know, in the future, all these pyramid structure, big businesses and banks and insurance companies and things, they're all collapsing. Mm. It'll be much more living locally, eating locally and sharing locally. And so I think that people that are all into having the best car, the biggest house, are going to find it quite difficult to make the shift. Mm. But those who are into nature and are already connected in the ways that we've been talking are going to find it much easier to move into the fifth dimensional golden future, which is a stone's throw away from us now.
9 years, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, before COVID, I was thinking, how are all the things I forecast in this book going to come about? And then suddenly, we had lockdown and everything started to change. We literally saw the big businesses beginning to collapse. We saw that you couldn't travel from New Zealand with apples for England. It's ridiculous. And these things will all be stopping. Petrol becomes so expensive, you cannot do it.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So Diana Cooper is here with us on Mother Speaks or on UK Health Radio. Oh, such wisdom, Sherry. My heart is like pounding with joy at all of what you're talking about. It's a recognizing a truth of being, like keep going, keep going, keep checking in with your heart, keep being with your presence on the earth and communing with others in that like-hearted way. But let's go to another track. Let's go to this high-vibed, gorgeous, gorgeous track by Bliss called 100,000 Angels. We'll come back with Diana after that.
Do you feel the love that's falling?
station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, hello, you're back on Mother Speaks with me, Clara Apollo. Diana Cooper is my guest, and we've already been looking at the golden age that's coming in 9 years. We've been looking at the power of the balance of the masculine and the feminine, so you can parent yourself first before you even try and parent somebody else. How it's so important to encourage your children to choose and want to be engrossed in nature as part of their healing, but also part of their development as like rounded humans. But also this thing about communities being connected through the same frequencies. When you clear the karma, when you step into, being with people who get you, you know, have conversations where you don't need to explain yourself the whole time. It's like so tedious. And it's like, this is one of, been a big wish of mine. So to hear you speak about that made me actually feel quite emotional, if I'm honest. And this the family and the range of family that we're getting involved with, that, you know, the honoring of every stage of our existence here on the earth, because we're not here for very long, really, in the big scheme of things. So it's honoring that within ourselves. And of course, Diana is really well known for her work with the angels. And I'd like to just bring in something now around the angelic realm, how they are here to help us clear these past karmas, to transmute all the difficulties that we're coming up with. Yes, we maybe can feel and vision in the golden age, but we've still got some tricky stuff to navigate and to work with and to transmute. So yeah, I'd love you to speak to us about that if you would.
Okay, now you were talking, when we were talking beforehand, about Archangel Chamuel, the angel of the heart. And I don't know if you can see a pink orb on my wall behind me.
Okay.
That is an orb of Archangel Chamuel. Now, the white in the center is an angel of love. Perhaps actually take it down. White in the center is an angel of love. Then you see Archangel Chamuel's heart-shaped energy around it. And then actually on the outside, there's a little bit of darker maroony color, and that's Mother Mary, or actually the Angel Mary. And so as you look at this, you have love being poured into you. So what I sometimes do is I take myself out for a walk and I just imagine I'm walking in this orb. So I'm breathing in the energy. And then I am breathing that pink from my heart out around me and obviously thinking harmless, loving thoughts. And what has happened to me several times, amazing things, but quite recently, one of my favorite things, I was standing on a bridge overlooking a stream in my local woods. My two dogs were with me. And as I stood there, I was sending this energy out around me. Nobody around. When I opened my eyes, there was a kingfisher on a twig right by me. My dogs were sitting on one side of me, and I can hardly believe it now, there was a fox sitting on the other side of me, because it was radiating harmlessness and love. And of course, those creatures felt totally safe while I was in that energy to be near the dogs. to be near me. And of course, when I opened my eyes and I looked down and I saw the fox, the dogs went,
exactly, reality kicking in. You've just put two bits of
feel away.
Yeah, you just put two bits of the jigsaw puzzle together for me now. It's the word harm, because I love the word harmonize. It's something that I work with the elements all the time. We're harmonizing the elements. I'm like, why does it begin with the word harm? And you just said harmlessness. You know, it's like, when we radiate harmlessness, compassion, we come into harmony, surely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's another story I quite often tell, which I love. Some years ago, a friend of mine was in a beauty spot and she was seeing all the litter that was lying around. And she was thinking very horrible thoughts about all the people dropping litter, as it's so easy to do, to be judgmental. And this voice came from nowhere and said, and what about the psychic litter you're leaving with your judgmental thoughts? And she went,
I love it. Ooh.
She told me that story and it was like, whoa, yes. I have to change. And for things like litter, I then started to be aware of my thoughts about it. And then I started to change it. So that as soon as I saw a bit of litter, I would think, bless the person who dropped it. Mm. Bless them with a feeling of belonging and self-worth. Because if you feel belonging and you have self-worth, you don't foul your nest with litter. And so I had to change something in myself to become harmless to that person. Because all the time you're sending out judgmental thoughts, that is battering them. Yes. With psychic energy.
Yes.
You know, we have wars around the world and the two sides are battering each other. It's not possible to make peace while somebody is fighting you with psychic arrows. Mm-hmm. And so it's change it and get into a habit of changing it. So that when you think about, we're talking about mothers, if you've got angry thoughts about your mother, dead or alive, if you send those thoughts out, it's like arrows to them.
Yeah.
And they can't change then because they're being battered and their defenses are up. The minute they feel that you've withdrawn the battering, then they feel safe to let down their defenses and change towards you. And really, the first way to change a relationship is to watch the thoughts you're sending and change them and look for something different in that person. Look for the divine inside them. I had a very critical mother and I was very blessed one day, many, many years ago, I was just going to bed and I saw this light appearing in the room and I saw her higher self and I saw the incredible love that she had for me.
Yes.
It was awesome. And it was just a golden, beautiful love. And her eyes were full of love. Mm. And then the next time I saw her, of course, she went back to her pattern. But I was seeing her differently. So I wasn't engaging in that arrows thing that used to go on. And it can make such a difference.
Totally. So it's the frequency, the energy that you give out. It actually, I think as you were speaking about that, I was also feeling about what about inside with the battles within yourself?
Same thing.
Where you don't give yourself a chance to just drop into compassion and just go, you know, I'm doing all right. Or whatever you need to say to yourself to reassure yourself that right here and now, everything's okay. You know, I think that's kind of a good place to remember to go to as well, this self-care within yourself to balance up the masculine and the feminine or the yin and the yang and to find that sweet spot in the middle that is peace, that is harmony, that is love. And then it's easier.
Well, you mentioned compassion a couple of times and there are every chakra has a number of chambers and in those chambers are the lessons you have to learn in order for that chakra to rise in frequency. We are now moving towards ascension. Many, many people are on the ascension path. And in the stellar gateway chakra, the highest one, there are 12 chambers. And one of them is mastering the lessons of compassion. So it's very, very important. Compassion towards yourself, compassion towards animals, nature, other people, but particularly towards your own parents.
Yes, definitely. And this can ripple back through the timelines as well. Oh, my goodness.
You made a really important point there. This is end times, and we can go right back and start healing. And when you're talking about that, in your soul star, you have all your soul journey stored in there. And sometimes we've done forgiveness after forgiveness, but we're stuck because somebody way down the soul line won't forgive you. Now, if that happens, Archangel Lavender will go down that soul line for you if you ask, and touch their heart and open them to open their heart to receive forgiveness. Now, when that happens, it can make a huge jump in your energy fields because they can let go of something and you can let go of it too.
Yes.
So there is so much help available to us. Just doing simple things like calling in the different angels to surround you each day and absolutely knowing that energetically they are there within your auric field connecting with you and ready to help you to make the changes you need to make. We live in extraordinary blessed times. It may be complex out there. It may be that there's all this stuff going on as the old collapses, but there is so much more for our inner lives that is rich and exciting. And as we know, if your inner life is peaceful, your outer life reflects it. And so the more we make our inner lives calm, loving, compassionate, the more we receive that externally too.
Thank you. Thank you. Just to be in your energy field here has just been such a deep joy and balm and healing for me. And thank you, Diana, really, for sharing all that you have with us here on Mother Speaks.
Thank you, Clara. It's been really lovely talking to you.
Yeah. So how can people find out more about you? Where can they go?
Well, my website, obviously, dianacooper.com. There's masses and masses of information and exercises. And, of course, I've got a YouTube channel, loads of stuff on there too, and my books.
And your courses. Yes, all your books and courses. And you've got the course coming up on the 19th of June, which is linked to what we've just been speaking around, the Soul Star. And I've got Amanda Ellis's Archangel Zadkiel, which is a completely beautiful fragrance, also activator for forgiveness and transmutation. So it is, yeah, the whole violet flame thing is so helpful for us to it's just so helpful for us. So I know that you have a very thriving, a thrumming Instagram channel as well. So if you want to catch more of Diana doing her thing, card readings, all sorts, what color is she going to wear today? I know how much you love your colors, but there's that frequency coming and that lightness of being with you too. So thank you so much for being here on the show. And just to say that Diana Cooper's new book, The Golden Future, What to Expect and How to Reach the Fifth Dimension, is out on Hay House on August the 22nd. And in this, you will find inspirational guidance, hope, and an uplifting vision of better times to come in this transformational path to the fifth dimensional golden future. I mean, we all know how turbulent life has been recently. And how long will our world carry on like this? Will things ever improve? And as Diana mentioned earlier in this interview, she believes a better future is on its way. And in this uplifting spiritual guidebook, she describes how an entirely new age, the golden future, is being birthed. As Diana shares the journey to the new golden age, she explains the reason why there are 8 billion people on the planet and the cosmic happenings in 2032 that will change the world. Her vision can help us manage ourselves amidst the turmoil of modern day life and allow the golden future to inspire and guide us along this collective transformational journey towards a better future for all. Can you feel it? I certainly can. And being in Dinah's presence for a good hour was a beautiful blast of coherent, five-dimensional, pure love and wisdom yumminess. I hope that this energy, this frequency, this vibe comes across for you too. And so if you've enjoyed this episode, please do tell your friends, and you can listen again on demand here on ukhealthradio.com or on any of the podcast platforms. And coming up next time, I'm going to be talking with Sharon Rose, the author of The Path of the Priestess. She's also a film director, a dance choreographer, a healer and a grandmother. And she's going to be calling in from Crestone, Colorado. Now, this bank holiday weekend, which is when this episode first airs, I'm going to be up in London at the Mind Body Spirit Festival, hanging out with my high vibe friends and offering a couple of Qigong based midlife magic sessions. So do pop along if you're in the area. And online, I have the regular weekly Elemental Qigong, which this month is focusing on our heart song. And there's also, oh, I'm really excited about this, the new five-week program entitled Calling Home Your Sacred Self with the Elements. And this begins on June the 5th with a free introduction, which you're really welcome to come along to, which I am so loving as it's incorporating the varying elements that nurture me through alongside the Qigong that I practice, especially voice activation, dance, sound healing and personal peace practice. So head over to claraapollo.com or have a look at the Apollo Qi app. And that's Qi spelled Q-I. And on that app, there are free trial sessions, some of the hypnotherapeutic inner alchemy meditations in there as well. And also links to Qi Time TV, which is our YouTube channel, where you will be able to watch this episode of Mother Speaks with Diana Cooper. Now, as I was editing this episode, the sad news came through about the passing of Tina Turner. What a legend, what a life story and immense back catalogue. But there may be something that you didn't know about her, that she was a practicing Buddhist. I think that's what helped to get through all her trials and tribulations. And so in her honour, I'd like to play out with a short spoken piece by her called Interlude, which is on the Buddhist chanting album called Beyond. So rest in song, dear Tina. Thank you for listening to Mother Speaks.
Love grows when you trust. When you trust, love heals and renews. Love makes us feel safe and brings us closer to God. Keep singing. Singing takes you beyond. Beyond.